Join me in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. You also see the text there on the screen projection in front of you. I've had 2 weeks to ponder this passage. I remember Scotty saying once before that when Pastor Tim has 2 weeks on a text, look out. I hope that's not negatively given, but... And I must tell you, as I said in the prayer, this is probably one of the more challenging passages we'll come across. Now, preachers will always get in trouble when they say this is the favorite, this is more important, et cetera, et cetera. But here I do want to hold before you a decision that the Holy Spirit, through the writings of Paul, is A, teaching us, but also... I'll say asking, encouraging, leading you to make an evaluation of life and then come to this conclusion. Paul has some very stern language in this passage. He refers to a group of people as dogs. That's not done often in text. And then he makes some very strong claims. And then, as I said, through the Holy Spirit, you are asked to, led to, I pray, come to the same conclusion as Paul has done here in this text. I hope I can bring it to you in a worthwhile way where the Holy Spirit might work to lead us to our conclusion. In the text. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. May the Lord add the blessings to his reading, the reading of the holy, inerrant Word of God. Let me direct your attention as I begin digging in here to verse 8. I'll read it to you here. Paul says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Let me ask you a question. Have you, could you make the same statement? Is this the way you would describe your life and the things of the life, your life, in regard to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. We in the United States have great difficulty with this. The people of the United States, not excluding other countries, of course, but we seem to major in it, are incredibly materialistic. We have stuff. We have lots of stuff. One of the great lessons we learn on our trips to Belize is how you can live, they can live, with less stuff and are happy. Sure, they have their troubles, their heartaches, but the one young lady tomorrow that was here, I may have told you the story when Judy pulled out her bread maker and started to make bread. Tamara asked what it was. And Judy told her it was a bread maker. And she said, "You folks have too much stuff." So when I read this text to you and I say, have you made this statement? Is this a description of your life? I count everything as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That everything in my life is considered a loss when compared to knowing Christ Jesus. This is Paul making this statement. And I'll give you the context of the direction of his comment in just a moment. But let's look at Paul's list. Let's look at Paul's stuff. And he has quite a list. If you go back up to verse 5, actually beginning in verse 4, he's comparing himself to these. And he says, if you have a claim against confidence in the flesh, I have much, much more. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day. For an Israelite, that is the thing of prominence to designate the covenant God made with Abraham. The young male men, the young male on the eighth day being circumcised, that religious activity that said this young man and the family of which he belongs to God. It was the item of ritual, of religious significance that the Israelites would hold up, and you'll see why even more so in a moment, and say, this means I am a person of God. Paul says, I count that as a loss. Of the people of Israel, the Jewish nation is a very proud nation. The people of Israel, even in today's world, the Israelites, the Jewish people, they're very proud of their heritage. They're very proud of their traditions. They're very proud of their customs. It acknowledges, determines, designates who they are. As much or more than any other society of people. Paul says of the people of Israel, I count that as a loss. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul was a descendant of the tribe of Benjamin, the 12 tribes of Israel. Benjamin was the most favored of the 12 tribes. It had prominence in the worship areas. As the tribes would move out and move the tent in the Old Testament, the Benjamin tribe, they would lead the way. They had a very prominent position. So to be a Benjaminite, to be a tribe of Benjamin, was a very privileged position. Paul says, a loss. Take it off the table. A Hebrew of Hebrews status. He had it. The greatest theologian that walked this earth, many would argue. And of a Hebrew, the teacher of the Hebrews, a leader of the Hebrews, one that was acknowledged to be, as he said, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had his status. his place in their society. As to the law, a Pharisee, not only a keeper of the law, a teacher of the law, and one that would hold you accountable to the law. As to zeal, his passion, he was a great persecutor of the church. He lived out his passion. Blameless under the law. But then note this, but whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss. So here, Paul, this great esteemed man in this society, said, take all of that off the table. I have no regard for it. It means nothing to me. I find no gain in it. Put it away. It means nothing to me. Because I count all of that as a loss when compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. Now, let's make application. Let's use this list and note the similarities of our own lives. Circumcised on the eighth day. Okay, as I said, a religious activity. Now, this was a religious activity that had taken on a life of its own. Yes, God gave Abraham this idea, this teaching of circumcision to promote the cleanliness, to promote the covenant. It was the thing Abraham was to do to his children, and the Israelites were to do it. But here, traditionalism had taken hold. And they had lost the heart of the issue. And all they knew was that the young man had to be circumcised. They had lost the real impact of that only being a symbol of the greater truth. The church in the United States majors in this. We are about our traditions. We are about our religious activities. We credit ourselves on not missing Sunday school, reading through the Bible, coming and being at church, all of those things. We look at ourselves as winning the battle if we accomplish those things. But if we're doing them for the wrong reason, and if we're doing them just so our neighbors will see us leaving for church at 15 minutes till 10, so they think I'm good, I'm acknowledged, Paul said all of that's loss. Our religious activities, all a loss. Communion, if it takes on a life of itself and loses its heart, consider it all a loss. People of Israel, would you deny your U.S. citizenship if it meant that that's the only way you could maintain a relationship with Jesus Christ? There are people around the world being driven out of their country, losing their country and their citizenship because they're Christian. Do you count, would you count your U.S. citizenship as a loss in comparing to Jesus Christ? And folks, we're a patriotic people. We love our holidays. We love our flags. Our U.S. military, we honor them, and they deserve it. We love being Americans, and we hold that badge of honor up. You ask a person if they believe in God, sure, I'm an American. More than that, you're a Christian? Sure, I live in the South. Why not? Give it all away. All a loss. If it means me deciding between that and Jesus Christ. Would you give it away? All right, folks, now here's where it gets tough. Of the tribe of Benjamin, folks, this is family. This is family. Paul is saying the tribe he's from, the lineage, the history he has as a Benjaminite, as one of that family, he said, that is a loss to me. Could you say that? Do you hold your family in such high regard that it gets in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ? I had a lady tell me one time, I shivered. She said, my children means much, much more to me than my relationship with Jesus Christ. I whispered a small prayer about that time. I said, Lord, you see she's sitting on that side of the room and I'm sitting on this side. I couldn't believe it. But I'm not going to say any more because, folks, there are people in this room who hold their family in such high regard that it gets in the way of their service to Jesus Christ, gets in the way of their worship, gets in the way of their ministry. Is family important? By all means. By all means. But Paul says that my family, because of their traditionalistic ways, because of their overbearing dominance of the tradition of our lives and our heritage, that is now a loss for me when I compare it to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Some of you have. Some of you have stood up to your family in regard to truth, defending the truths of Jesus Christ, and it's cost you your relationship. It's cost me mine. It's cost my wife her relationship with her brother. But when it comes to the truth of Jesus Christ, no one has privilege. Some of you need to stand up to some of the members of your family and hold forth the truth. And if it costs you your relationship, Paul is saying that's worth it for holding up the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. I told you this was a demanding text. I could go on. Hebrew of Hebrews, your status, where you are in the community, business owner, manager in a company, prominent in this society, et cetera, et cetera. Would you give it all away? Why is Paul preaching such a thing as this? Well, go back with me to verse 2. Because there were a group of people in the church teaching that you must maintain traditions. You must maintain the old ways. You must maintain your position as an Israelite. Now, you can have Jesus Christ, but you must maintain this. They were teaching that you can have Jesus Christ and serve Him, but you must also be circumcised. You must also follow the laws of Moses. Folks, in general, this is saying Jesus Christ and is the way of salvation. We don't do that. We are saved through faith alone, through grace alone, through Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. No traditions, no religious activities, no family. Nothing of that buys me salvation. It is Jesus Christ alone. He referred to these who teach us such things as dogs. Very derogatory language in this society to refer to someone as a dog. Now, I know we have a hard time in our culture making this derogatory kind of relationship with dogs. Never mind. Dogs are scavengers. Dogs are the bottom of the heap. They are the lowest of lows. They devour rubbish and the flesh, their own, just a few minutes later. Paul is saying these people who teach the traditionalistic ways, who say you do Jesus Christ and, they are no better than the dogs that turn around and eat their own. Folks, be careful how we live our lives, because how we live our lives is teaching someone else. Do we hold all things loosely and hold Jesus Christ prominently? This is what Paul is teaching. He says, we are the circumcision. Now, wait a minute, Paul. You're faulting these guys for circumcision, but yet you are teaching that we are the circumcision. Notice how he finishes the sentence. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God. not the physicalness. These are referred to as mutilators of the flesh because they are mutilating the external because they want the external to show forth the religiosity of their lives, if you will. They wanted to look religious. They wanted to look the part in following the rules. And Paul says, no, we are of the circumcision group because our hearts have been circumcised of that old, old way, and we've been given a new heart through faith in Jesus Christ. And folks, that's where he takes us. Back to verse 8, he says, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for this sake, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Now, there's an important point that needs to be made here that I learned very late in the 2 weeks of pondering this. It's not that these things can be considered neutral. Hebrew of Hebrews, of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. He's not considering those things as neutral, as not having an effect. He's actually referring to them now as rubbish and as a loss, which means their influence on his life is degrading. He's not counting them as neutral, as having no effect. They're having the negative effect on his life. That's why he is so quick to move away from them. That's why he's so quick to move them off the table and say, I count it all as loss, because they're having a negative effect on me and my relationship with Jesus Christ. What is having a negative reflection on you and your relationship with Jesus Christ? As I've said, I've had 2 weeks with this, and it wasn't all for you. Because it had me looking at me. I even asked Judy about halfway through the time, how do we know that we're actually saved? And thankfully the Holy Spirit came, pointed out a few texts, and led me along the way and said, yeah, you hard-headed thing, you are. But there's a few things you need to learn. What's having a negative effect on your relationship with Jesus Christ? Those things need to be gone. Those things need to go. And here is his objective in dealing with all these things in his life. Here is his objective, remainder of verse 8. In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law or through works, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Speak just a moment about faith. This is faith in Christ, not faith in having faith. This is faith in Christ, not having faith in the wisdom of men. This is not having faith in my own abilities. This is not having faith in the goodness of mankind. This is not having faith in the well-being and the goodness of people. All of that goes. It is faith in Christ Jesus and all that he is and stands for. It is through faith alone, through grace alone, through Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, that we have salvation. Paul is telling the Philippian people, he's telling you and I, look deeply into your lives. Look deeply into your life. Are there those things of your life and of your conduct that is bearing a negative reflection? Is there something standing in the way than that pure faith in Jesus Christ? He goes further. Paul always does. that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Whoa. The Christian faith is not an easy thing. The Christian faith is not an easy thing. It's suffering. It's dying. It's sacrifice. It's giving up, turning away, sometimes from those closest to you. And then all of that, he wants to attain the resurrection from the dead. And that's what Paul will see. That's what you, believer, will see in the second coming of our Lord. You will see the effects, the fulfillment of the resurrection of the dead. Because Jesus Christ has raised, so will you who call on Jesus Christ as Lord. As I said, a very challenging, difficult passage if we deal with it earnestly. Now, this is hard, but we have an action. A verse I did not read to you, verse 12. Verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own." There's hope, folks. If you find yourself in a place where these things aren't true for me, then go down to verse 12. I ain't got there yet, but I'm working on it. I haven't found all of this in my life, but I'm working on it. I press on because I want that. And folks, you will press on till the day the Lord Jesus comes back to get us. My grandma Butts used to say, "We keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on." Folks, I ask you to do something for me. For yourself, not for me. Reread this passage this week. Every morning, every afternoon, every evening, whatever best suits your time. Go to verse 8. I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord. Is that true for me? Can I say that about my life? And ask that question every day. And I'll bet you by Wednesday or Thursday, the Holy Spirit will begin kind of clearing some things out, bringing things to your attention. Let's pray together. Father, give us strength. Holy Spirit, give us strength. Empower us that we might look deeply within our lives and that we could say that our desire is that everything would be lost when compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, give us strength. There's some hard decisions and actions to be made by many, I'm sure. And we need your power, your strength. We, like Paul, pray, call for, yearn for the power of the resurrection to be lived out in our lives now, the power of the Holy Spirit to be in our lives now, to make some of these hard decisions. Father, give us strength. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.